You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I want to talk to you, continuing in this series called Believe. Somebody say believe. Say it one more time. Say believe. And this is such an important cornerstone for us as Christians, that we have faith, that our faith is active, that our faith is on the move. Scripture tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we cannot enter into His kingdom. Without faith, there are whole doors that God has for us of blessing that cannot be unlocked. So we need faith. But I want to address this part of our lives that sometimes we struggle with doubt. And these doubts, we have to find a way to move beyond. And so I've entitled this sermon, Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. And if you'll go with me in your scriptures today, John 20 and 24, we'll start. John 20, 24. And it says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, but this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." Will you just say that with me? Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Then he goes on to say, and Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." So Thomas has been on this incredible journey of following Jesus for the last 3 years. He had heard good teaching. He had seen signs and wonders. He had seen healing. He had seen plenty of miracles. But here he was, even after all that, with doubts. Anybody ever found yourself as a disciple of Jesus with doubts? Maybe you had questions, different thoughts in your mind that you just were trying to understand why. Look at somebody and say, believe. This is what happens that I've seen, is that in our walk with Christ, you can get complacent. You can know the truth, you can live the truth, but then forget the truth. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that you forget Jesus, but you forget some of the dynamics of our faith that makes it so powerful. You lose a little bit of the edge of what makes your faith, faith. And it's so important that we don't allow our faith to get casual. Sometimes when we know the Lord for a little while and we've been walking with the Lord for a little while, just in like the book of the Revelations, it says, "I hold this one thing against you, church, that you've lost your first love." You know, and all the married couples that have been married for a while, they know sometimes they got to refine that fire. They got to refine that spark, because you can sometimes lose the romance over time. And this is sometimes what happens in our relationship with Christ, is we love Him, but it gets kind of casual. It gets a little bit lazy. And that faith and that zeal that we once had, that passion, that thought that Jesus can do anything and all things are possible if I can just believe, we lose a little bit of that. We get a little bit complacent. And just like Jesus, everybody that was walking with Him wasn't necessarily connected in the same way. How many know that Judas wasn't connected to Jesus the same way that the other disciples were. And so, you know, he was following Jesus. He looked like the other disciples. He was walking like the other disciples. But in his heart, something had changed. There were some doubts in there. And so, as Christians, sometimes this happens. But God wants us to have a robust and a powerful, bold faith. You see, Thomas had seen it all. He'd seen the big miracles. He'd seen the healings. He'd seen the feeding of the 5,000. He's seen the dead raised with Lazarus. How do you get complacent after all that? Can I tell you, it's easier than you think. Doubting begins to happen a little bit at a time. And if you don't keep filling up your faith tank, doubt will creep in. If you don't keep speaking the word of God, if you don't keep hearing the word of God and keep rehearsing the word of God. Can I just applaud you today? Because even in the rain, you came out to hear the word of God. You're in the right place, because if you hear the word of God, something can stir in you to have a faith that you didn't previously have. God can take you to a higher place of faith because you came and you've heard the word of God. And so when we hear the word of God, when we read the word of God, when we rehearse the word of God, there can be greater faith. If you don't keep growing in your faith will recede. Can I tell you this, that faith is not static. It doesn't just stay the same way. You either grow in your faith or you diminish in your faith, right? You either grow from glory to glory or you recede in what God has for you. Why? And sin happens the same way. It works the same way. When we're in sin, we either grow in sin or we get less sin in our life because we're following Christ more, right? And we're working out our salvation. Well, faith works in a similar way. We're growing in faith or we're getting less faith, but you'd never stay the same. But this is what happened to Thomas, though. Little by little, his faith receded. He saw great things. He was taught great things. He was actually even sent out with the 12, with the 70. He was sent out, and God did miracles through Thomas. But he still found himself at a place of doubt. Can I tell you that God wants you to have an ever-growing faith, an unstoppable faith, a faith that goes higher and higher and higher, and from glory to glory, from this place to this place, from this level to that level. How many gamers that we have here? You go from one level and you get to the next level and you get to the next level, and there's somebody else. You see, they've got a higher level than you. You need to get to a higher level. And that's what God wants us to continue to grow in our faith. But what happened to Thomas was there was a tragedy. Anybody ever experienced tragedy? The enemy uses tragedy to derail our faith. We're on the right path. We got a good momentum. We got a good thing going on. Anybody ever been there? You've been in a good exercise routine. You're going. And then something happens in your life and you just fall off the wagon. You get distracted and your whole thing gets messed up, right? This is the way it is with faith. We get into the zone. We're running with Jesus, right? And we're fighting the good faith, and we're running and with perseverance. And then all of a sudden, a tragedy happens. Thomas experienced the tragedy in Jesus on the cross. Thomas experienced his hope being lost when he saw Jesus arrested, when he saw Jesus tortured, when he saw Jesus beaten and mocked and humiliated. He was their faith. He was their hope. He was the one they were looking to. And now with his hope crushed, with this tragic thing, and his hope was snuffed out as Jesus was hanging on the cross. Now, tragedy happened. And if you will understand what's happening in our lives, the enemy will use tragedy. Any opportunity he has, he will use tragedy. Since the enemy wants you to be an unbelieving believer, he waits for opportunities. That doesn't mean the devil's going to win. That doesn't mean he's gonna beat you with the tragedy. But it means that sometimes he's going to cause tragic things to happen in your life. But the real question is, what do you do when tragedy happens? Do you lose faith or do you stir up your faith? I can tell you about two men, Paul and Silas, in the midnight hour of their circumstances, when they had been beaten, when they had been humiliated, when they had been thrown in jail, and when they had been beaten, they cried out to the Lord and they stirred up their faith. They started singing songs of praise. Why? They were stirring up their faith. And so when tragedy happens, how do you respond? Thomas saw Jesus on the cross and tragedy happened. But God, can I tell you, God can change your tragedy into victory. God can change tragedy. He can transform your tragedy into victory. He didn't cause the tragedy, but he can take something ugly and he can make it beautiful. He can take what the enemy tries to do and he can turn it around for your good. Can I tell you that the devil tried to kill Jesus, and he did kill Jesus, but God turned it into redemption. And this is what God wants to do with every tragic circumstance in your life. Instead of losing faith in tragedy, we have to decide to exercise our faith and get strong in our faith and stir our faith up. Because in the middle of tragedy, God can do something beautiful. The scripture says, don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. God wants me to tell you today, it's time for you to start shouting. It's time for you to start believing again. Even in in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of problems in your life, if you can begin to praise God and believe and stir yourself up. Why is it that we sing songs of praise? Sometimes it's because we just need to stir ourselves up for a faith that God can do what we didn't believe that he could do before we walked in this place. I have to remind myself of the goodness of God. I have to stir myself up, because if I just stay the same, I'm not really staying the same. I'm receding in my faith. Don't let the devil take your faith. It's time to stand in faith. Maybe you've been harassed in your physical body and you need to remind the devil that you're standing on the word of God today. Maybe you've been struggling with some type of infirmity, some type of sickness. Can I tell you that we serve a God that still heals? And we stand in faith today. Don't doubt like Thomas did. Don't be a believer. Don't be part of the faith community that's doubting. Stand up and believe that your healing, your miracle, is your portion today. Some of you today might say, you know what? It wasn't something that was tragic. I was just disappointed. Things just didn't happen the way that I expected them to happen. Things didn't pan out the way that I wanted them to pan out. And now I'm just disappointed. Can I tell you that when we're carrying that disappointment, it doesn't allow us to be in faith the way that we need to be? How many of you talk to friends, and when you talk to those friends, you're like, how are you doing? Well, you know, they're just disappointed with life. They're just disappointed with what's going on with them spiritually, with what's going on. And we have to be careful, because that disappointment forces our faith out. Thomas experienced the same thing. He was disappointed that things didn't turn out like he expected them to. Can I tell you, it's just a fact of life. Stuff ain't going to always turn out the way you want it to turn out. Amen? There are some times, there's some things, there's some expectations that you had, and God decided to move a different way. Or the enemy stepped in and caused some problems. Either way, there were some different variables in the plan than you first thought. And we have to dismiss disappointment so that we can welcome faith into our life. Because God wants to speak life into you today. God wants to speak healing into you today. God wants to speak miracles into you. God wants to speak life into your bones. Maybe you've been battling something today and God wants to help you overcome it. Maybe there's something with your family. Maybe there's something in your body. Maybe there's something in your finances. Can I tell you, we serve a God that's more than able. I don't care if you've been disappointed before. This is your day that God wants to move on your behalf. Because God is on a mission to heal. God is on a mission to fix things. God is on a mission to do miracles in our lives. And can I tell you, I've been put on assignment. You've been put on assignment to see the healing, the freedom of God dispersed in your life and operating in your life and overflowing in your life on the people around you, not just for you, not just for your family, but for every person that's in your path. God wants to fill you up so that you can be a demonstration, so that you can be a testimony. Anybody here want to be a testimony? I don't know about you, but I want to be a testimony that when people see my life, they say, I thought one thing, I had one expectation. He was down. It looked like he was down for the count, but then God... Then God did a miracle. I had counted him out. I thought he wasn't going to make it. I thought it wasn't going to add up. But then God. I serve a God that's so good, that's so big. Can I tell you, all I need is 5 stones and some faith. All I need is 5 stones and some faith. I don't care what type of giant I'm up against. I don't care what the problem is. I can walk up there, and if I just got a little bit of faith, God can change everything. So maybe you've been disappointed before, but God doesn't want you hobbling along through life. God wants to touch you today. God wants to remind you that you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. God wants to remind you that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. That he's got a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, to prosper your family, to prosper your finances, to prosper your physical body so you're not hobbling around. God wants to touch you. God wants you to stir up your faith today, to receive something from him today. I don't know what you came for today, but I hope you came to get your faith stirred up. Because God wants to do greater than you have expected for yourself. God wants to do more than you thought was possible. I want to introduce you. I want to reintroduce you to that type of Jesus. A Jesus that's a way maker. A Jesus that's a promise keeper. A Jesus that's a healer. A Jesus that's a miracle worker. A Jesus that does things that no man can do. That opens doors that no man can open. And shuts doors that no man can shut. Sometimes in your life you need God to come in and shut some doors. There's some bad stuff going on, and God is a door closer. He can close the door. He can close the chapter on that stuff. I'm going to wind this up by saying this. Jesus, he finishes up his conversation with Thomas like this. First, he restores Thomas' faith. Can I tell you, God wants to restore your faith. That's what we've been doing for the last 30 minutes. Restoring your faith. Pumping your faith up. Stirring you up because God wants to do something more in your life. So Jesus restores Thomas's faith. And then he says something that's so, so key. I hope you grab a hold of this today. He says to Thomas, he said, you believe because you have seen. But even more blessed is the person that can believe when they don't see. You believe because you saw me and you touched me, but the person is going to get even more blessed that can believe when he doesn't even see it yet. Jesus tells us there's different levels of faith. One level of faith is, I do it for you, you see it, now you believe. But what about when God has more for you? God has something greater for you when you can believe and you can't even see it. It looks like all the obstacles are against you. It looks like nothing's changing. It looks like you're in a rut. It looks like you're at a dead end. But you say, I believe that God is able. I believe that I serve a miracle working God. And I believe that nothing is impossible when we believe.
I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I'm testifying today that I believe in a Jesus that comes through. Not one time, not sometimes, but every time. So I don't know if you've seen it yet, but even if you hadn't seen it, that's the time to get even more faith stirred up. If you hadn't seen your miracle happen yet, God wants to bless you even more. When I look at my circumstances, when I look at my challenges, when I look at my problems, I think if I hadn't seen my miracle yet, God has something even greater. Because if I can just keep believing, come on, church, if I can just keep believing, come on, church, if I can just keep believing, I know I'm going to get something even greater. Can you stand up with me on your feet? Last week, we opened up the altar and we prayed for people. Not the organ yet. We're not ready for that part. We opened up the altar and many people got healed, got miracles. Sister Maria, her foot had gotten ran over by a car. And she came into church with thing bandaged up. I saw her on Thursday night. She was dancing. Can I tell you that God still does miracles? And I want to ask our prayer team to come down here. I don't know what you're believing for. First and foremost, I really feel like the people of God have been harassed by physical infirmity. So if you need a touch in your physical body, we're going to invite you to come down. But it's not limited to that. If you need a miracle in your finances, if you need a miracle in your marriage, if you need a miracle in your family, I want you to come down here. God can do what no man can do. So as we sing this song, I want to stir your faith that we serve a God that can fix things. He can make a way where there was no way.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.